So our second song is for the next character that's introduced in The Afflicted, who is Gerard.
That's right.
And unlike Keeper Edward, he is not in the wilds of his own accord.
Gerard works in a mafia-run cage-fighting ring, but he eventually outlives his usefulness, so they drug him and he wakes up out in the wilds. He's very lost. He doesn't know what to do without his money, he has no survival skills, he's about to starve to death. But then Keeper Edward comes along and saves him.
And that's what begins the story as we know it.
That starts what drives a lot of the plot, which is that Gerard falls very much in love with Keeper Edward.
Mm-hmm.
It's not requited, mostly because Keeper Edward is a priest, but also because Keeper Edward is out there to help all the afflicted, not just Gerard.
Right, and it's only through his own clinginess that he changes Keeper Edward's plan and forms this tribe by accident.
Yes. Keeper Edward's original plan was to help people one at a time until they have survival skills and then move on. But Gerard didn't want to leave. When the time came, he chose to follow Keeper Edward instead, which on one hand meant he didn't have to say goodbye, but on the other hand, it established that everyone could do that, and soon it became this big group.
I struggle and stop with no explanation why.
I'm always going to remember about this song is just how difficult it was.
Yeah, this one took a while, not least because it's one of the longest songs on the album. I kind of let this one get away from me, but it's Kyoteo's first music credit, and he definitely worked hard for it.
Again, I never did learn how to play an instrument or compose anything myself. I get these tunes in my head, and then I just record myself humming them or whatever, and give those to David and hope he can figure them out. And for the most part, that worked out fairly well. The other ideas I had seemed to come across well enough, but for whatever reason, this one, I just could not convey what I meant. And every time he tried to interpret it, it just wasn't working.
Yeah, I think when you write music alone, no matter how versatile you are, which I'm not, you have your own sense of how songs are going to progress and how they fit together. You came up with this great, very obviously Blind Guardian-inspired thing for the verses, and I had trouble translating it back because I had too much of my own idea of how I thought that melody would fit into a full song.
But we did get it fixed, and I love how it sounds now. It just took some work to get there.
Yeah, I think it was worth it.
We finally got it when we got together at a convention. It was Furfright 2013, I believe.
Yeah, the Furfright 2013, which was the last Furfright, although we didn't realize that at the time. And this was the Monday after the convention, where most people had gone home and we were waiting around for the right time to justify going to the airport.
He brought his guitar with him, which, for the record, I can't play that either, but I was able to experiment with it very slowly. I'd have to find one note at a time and then try to remember where they all were and what order they were in later. But I eventually played it out on that, and David figured it out from there.
Yeah, I could just record it into my phone and drive home and then reassemble what you'd played into the full song.
Still be here if only you'd stayed. Been mine, only mine. It's so unfair to leave me.
Most of this album, if it wasn't clear to people listening already, was assembled by us sending music and lyrics to each other back and forward over Dropbox and the like. And that worked great most of the time, but meeting face-to-face is still really valuable, and it's different from working on it online, even though it's kind of incredible that you can work on an album together from opposite ends of a country in the age of the internet. Speaking of which, can I name drop here?
Sure, by all means.
So I wanted to mention here that for the effect on the big shouted chorus in this song, and really throughout most of the rest of the songs, I asked Pete Zielk about how he does things, and he's a musician from Germany. He has a band I really love called Iron Savior, and he's also produced so many European metal bands like Gamma Ray, Helloween, Blind Guardian, and so on.
You can definitely hear his style in Blind Guardian.
Yeah, the huge...
You can hear Blind Guardian style in what I was going for here, hopefully. Hmm. So
yeah, I think so.
Everything's connected.
Yeah, he does this incredible wall of voice sound. It's really recognisable. And he's really approachable as well. He's on Facebook and he friends fans all the time, you know. So I worked up the courage to ask him how he achieves that kind of sound. And I was expecting a kind of vague answer back at best, but I was really surprised that he wrote back with a kind of detailed response about how he tracks the voices, how he pans them and overlays them. And the biggest thing he told me was to actually go down the whole however many vocal tracks you're using and record a voice for each one. Don't try to use artificial duplication because it just doesn't sound right. So I ended up recording about four or five individual parts for that shout, and each part is repeated 8 times, which multiplies up to a lot.
Yeah, basically, if you want a wall of sound, you have to lay it down brick by brick, and by that I mean voice by voice. You can't cheat.
You can't, but putting all those tracks down is definitely worth it. I'm really pleased with how it came out.